Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is a Packers reporting legend. He is Jason Wilde. Joins three times a week on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason.
Keep doing that.
Yeah, I'm going to keep doing it. Yes, that's correct. You'll hear it again tomorrow.
Okay. I'll remember that when I'm saying all my nice things about you. I know you're being sarcastic, you big jerk.
What do you mean? You have accolades. You're a three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
It's pretty legendary.
That is legendary. You think I'm being sarcastic, but you are. Mm-hmm. And again, the biggest issue I would assume that you would have with being called a legend is the thing that Homer brings up. Like, you old. Can't be in legend unless you're old.
Yeah, that's part of it. Sure. Yeah. But I'd like to thank my buddy Brady at Channel 3 in Madison who introduced me that way because it's really catching on, and it's amazing.
Do you feel old?
No, I don't. You know, age ain't nothing but a number, Strofe.
It's true.
I'm having a great time with the new writing job, and if they want to call me a legend, so be it. It's Gabe, who is one of the nicest people in the flipping world, shows up at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin to visit with Tausch and me. And Tausch says, "Do you live around here?" And Gabe says, "Nope." I mean, it's not like it was convenient, like he lives in Brookfield or something. So that's the kind of great guy he is. So that's why I don't know what to make of the whole legendary thing, but I'm because I love Gabe, I'm going to let it slide.
All right.
And I'll let it. Tomorrow, I won't even comment on it. I'm just
yes, you will.
It.
Yeah, don't lie to us. No, let's not do lies.
Yeah, maybe.
I appreciate it. I mean, Homer's going to say something if I say it. So, you know, we'll see if that generates more conversation tomorrow with the Home Slice when he joins us as the cousin sub of the day. DK Metcalf, apparently asking for a trade, but the asking price seems incredibly high. Now, typically, that's where teams start in a post-Luka Doncic world, and I know that's a different sport, but after one of the best players in a sport gets traded for, you know, not equal value, I think you ask for whatever you want to and then maybe settle for something less. In the NFL, when somebody asks for a trade, it doesn't always happen. Do you think that John Schneider is going to move DK Metcalf? They do have Jaxon Smith-Njigba, but they did also just release Tyler Lockett.
Yeah, I don't, that's the one piece of this that I'm a little bit confused by, and I have not reached out to John at all because obviously there's a lot going on in Seattle right now. But, you know, is he just not willing to pay DK Metcalf? Because the story that I saw from Rap Sheet was not only that Metcalf had requested a trade, but that the Seahawks were going to pursue it, which... You know, I guess I thought, you know, a lot of times when this happens, a team, you know, then through back channel says, yeah, he's requested a trade, but we want to keep him. We don't want to trade him. You know, you look at what happened with the 49ers and Brandon Ayuk, right? I mean, it sucks that he then suffered the ACL tear. But, like, I thought for sure he was getting traded. And the 49ers kept saying they weren't going to trade him, and then they extended him. So I don't know how this will end. I do know that poor Corbin Smith, who took a beating on this DK Metcalf story, he may not have had everything right, but he had a lot of things. You know,
is Tausch going to issue a formal apology on your show today? Because I think that Tausch kind of, you know, Tausch beat him up pretty good.
Got after him pretty good.
Yeah, he did. And so I don't know. I think Tausch's position, I don't want to speak for him, that's usually when I get into trouble.
I
think his position is if DK Metcalf goes for a first-round pick, he will apologize. But I think we I'm not, again, speaking for him, but I would like to apologize, even though I didn't really say anything to trash Corbin. I apologize to him because now I would say this. It's never great, you know, to post on social media how hard it's been. And, you know, it's okay. You know, this is part of the – it's like the time that Mike McCarthy dressed me down in front of the entire media corps. After one of the off-season program press conferences after a practice, because I had reported that Al Harris, according to a source, was unhappy with his contract, and that's why he was skipping the off-season program. And Mike McCarthy accused me of making it up, and I couldn't tell him that my source was Al Harris. So I knew that I had not made it up. So sometimes you got to take your lumps if you know you got your story right. And we'll see what DK Metcalf's ultimate destination is. I just don't see Goody parting with the 23rd overall pick. And I will be surprised if he is willing to give up draft capital and then pay DK Metcalf a big number, because that would be a tacit indictment of the guys that he drafted, because you're not signing Davante Adams as a mentor slash number one wide receiver for the next year or two. You're signing and trading for a guy that you are stamping as your number one guy for the next 4 years. And that would be saying that I don't think these guys that I drafted, that I've been talking about how good they are and how I think we've got that type of quality in our receiver room, you're saying the exact opposite if you make this trade.
Well, let's talk about those two names, Davante Adams and DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf feels to me, Jason, a little bit more like it makes sense for Goody, right? The age, it's more of a long-term solution. But now the package, as we've kind of beat around, Diana Russina reporting this morning, the Seahawks are seeking both a first and third round pick for DK Metcalf. Of those two, though, Jason, which one do you think makes more sense for Brian Gutekunst and the Green Bay Packers between DK Metcalf and Davante Adams?
So, first of all, I think it's interesting, right? Because, you know, he got a first and a second for Davante. Now, I would argue Davante Adams was a two-time first-team All-Pro wide receiver. Davante Adams was better when he was traded than DK Metcalf is today. That doesn't mean that DK Metcalf's not a really good player. But, you know, to your question, Strofe, and I will just go back to what – I mean, I feel like I keep saying this, and I want people to understand that this opinion is not influenced by my bias that Davante is probably one of my top five guys that I've covered. He's in the Dorsey Levens, Aaron Rodgers, Charles Woodson, Mark Tauscher conversation of my guys. But I really do believe, even if he was someone I didn't even like, that he's the right fit because of what I said earlier. Like, I understand he's older. You're 1,000% right that, you know, unless you're a kicker, I don't think Goody necessarily wants you after your 30th birthday. I'm hoping that he brings back Eric Wilson because I think that would be smart. And he's a really good locker room guy and a really good special teams guy. But he has had his 30th birthday now, so who knows? But the point that I keep emphasizing is that if you believe in Jaden Reed or if you believe in Dontayvion Wicks, I don't know if they trust Romeo Doubs anymore or not. No one has said to me that they don't, so I can't say that unequivocally. But, like, after with the concussions and after not coming to work and then not being, you know, being under the weather and sick and not being able to play, and then Christian Watson goes out and tears his ACL, it was just a really difficult year to be pro Romeo Doubs, right? In fairness, like, I'm not trying to be a jerk about it, but if and now you've got Watson coming off an ACL. So those are your kind of four wide receivers that you would look at and say, okay, we think one of these guys can be a one. So if you do make a trade for DK Metcalf, you have said, we don't think they can be the one. We got to go get a one. And throughout Packers history, most of which Goody has been on the staff for, there have been those guys that have emerged as the one. And there's always this kind of transition period. And I always use 2017 as an example, because we went into 2017 during the 16 season. We had seen Devontae really start to, after people wanted to cut him so Jeff Janis could play more, you started to see him play at the level that we would later see him play at all the time. But it was still a big season for Jordy. He won comeback player of the year. He's over 1,000 yards, et cetera, et cetera. But during that 17 season, it was very clear that Devontae Adams was becoming the one and Jordy was taking a back seat to him, which Jordy was okay with, by the way. And I feel like Devontae is at that point in his career where he can be that guy now, and then during next season or during the 26 season, if Dontayvion Wicks, who has drawn some comparisons to him, or if Jaden Reed starts to really come into his own and starts looking like a big-time stud, then you still have a great NFL wide receiver who becomes kind of your 1B or your number 2 as that young guy kind of takes the reins. And I believe in that, and I believe the Packers' history has shown that that's the best way to do it. And if Goody makes this trade, it's basically him admitting, yeah, I picked all these guys. They're good and all, but they're not good enough.
Jason, you brought up Mike McCarthy, so before we let you go, it's something that we discussed earlier this week on the show, but do you think that he would be good on TV? He's been rumored as a dark horse candidate to replace Jimmy Johnson, who announced his retirement as part of the Fox pregame show. So I guess a couple parts to the question. A, do you think he would be open to something like that, or is he dead set on coaching next year? B, do you think he would be good on TV?
Well, I love Mike. You guys know that. And he's got a heart of gold. He became more and more engaging as his career went on with us, but he also always tried to keep us from having any information.
Boring by design.
Yes, exactly. That is the exact phrase I was thinking. And you cannot be boring by design on TV. That does not play well. But I think, in my interactions where he's not at the podium and we're not on TV, he is a smart, funny, insightful guy. That's why Boring by Design pissed me off so much. Like I wouldn't say we got into a heated argument, but I was like, all right, I know what you're really like, you jerk. Why would you do that? And his argument is a pretty good one, right? His argument is, you don't want to create questions for your locker room or for other players if you're a player. And Boring by Design helps you win. And I didn't have a great comeback for that. So if you guys have one for me, let me know. But the bottom line is, I think
come back 5 years later.
I think you're a little late on that.
Jerkster called. I think he could be good. I don't know what his plans are. That's funny that you bring that up, though, because I was thinking Tausch and I should probably have him on at some point again, because I think he would be a really pleasant surprise for people, that if he was in a role like that, I think they'd be like, wow, this guy's good. I never expected that. So I think he still wants to coach, but I'm eager to figure out exactly what he's going to do this year too. Does this mean that he's going to be here all year long back in Green Bay? Because it's going to be a lot of trips to Starbucks to pick up his coffee when we get together.
Jason, always appreciate the time, buddy. Can't wait to talk to you tomorrow when Homer is our Cousin Sub of the Day.
Well, so I can't wait to be with a fellow legend. All right, guys, take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde joins us 3 times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
That bothers him.
Yeah, I know. That's why it's fun.
Exactly. It's look, he's the best, but it's very easy to get under his skin.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I love it.
Yeah, which is why, again, I do it.
Yeah, you're good
at
it.
Because I know it bothers him and brings a smile to my face. We've got another legend, by the way,
who's
going to be joining the show. Steve Scafidi, who you can catch on the Political Power Hour on our sister station, 620 WTMJ. Also, I don't know if he's the biggest Packers fan I know, but he's certainly in the running of the biggest Packers fan I know. He wants to join and talk a little green and gold. He's going to do that coming up next.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What we need is a chart And every week, we take the shirtless picture of Chew, and we move that to wherever the prediction is of how many wins that they
have.
Eight.
Eight. Six.
Seven.
Seven. I think that's how it goes now, right?
Eight, and they six, lost, and he 7, 5, 3, 0, 9.
On 94.5 ESPN.